this morning, we get to that day that we celebrate, Easter. And we've been traveling a bit of a journey to get there, if you've been with us. A series that we call Reflections, where we consider as we look at Scripture, how Scripture gives us something of a mirror in which we see ourselves. And today, on this day, on Easter, we consider that same thing. When we look at the Easter story, how do we see in that, in Scripture, something of a mirror about who we are and the lives that we live? What does Easter mean today? Because consider how this goes. For many of us, this has been a rather solemn week. If you've been with us through any of our worship services, we've had our services of Lent throughout the last 40 days, contemplating and meditating upon our need for Jesus. We gathered here on Thursday to commemorate his suffering and his death. And we left this place on Thursday in silence, in a solemn tone. And then we gather here on this day for Easter, and it's a celebration filled with joy, filled with awe, filled with wonder. But here's what's next. We do that here today, but I'm sorry to say, tomorrow's Monday. Monday comes next. And for many of us, it means going back to whatever it was we had before. Right? So as much as we celebrate today, as much as today is a joyful day, as much as we praise God today, what does that really do for us when tomorrow kids go back to school again and back to those routines? Others of us go back to the office, go back to work, go back to that again. Others of us go back to doctor's appointments and chores, taking care of kids or grandkids. All those normal things that we had done before, that all happens again tomorrow. So how does this day today make a difference, right? How does that change what we do and how we do that and going back to what we always live through in our routines? It seems like it should. It ought to. That today, even though today is special, even though Easter is a special day, that today should not be a day that sets aside and marks itself, and then we just pack it up in a box and leave it for next year. Sometimes maybe that's what Easter feels like, right? That sometimes we celebrate this day as a high day in our calendar, and then we put it all away and we get around to it in another 365 days. I'm not satisfied with that. There's something in me that thinks Easter ought to be more than that. That when I wake up tomorrow morning and go back to my regular routines that I've always done, there should be something different, changed about that. That's hard to find, isn't it? So what's the reflection here? What is the reflection in Scripture that we see about this? Today I'm going to read a story. It's one of my favorite stories that come out of the Gospels. And this story takes place on Easter. This is the day that Jesus rose from the grave. And it's late in that day. Late afternoon, people are starting to find their way back home. Let me give the setting for this. It's Passover time in Jerusalem. So people are coming from all over to the city of Jerusalem to celebrate Passover. Jesus had been crucified and buried on that Friday. And now it is, they celebrate on Saturday, which is their Sabbath. And then we get to Sunday, which for them was the first day of the week, right? It is Sunday morning. And all the events of the empty tomb have taken place. All of the wonder and awe of what does this mean and what has happened is there. And then we find late that afternoon, here's the story that we pick up. This is from Luke chapter 24. I'm going to begin reading at verse 13. Now on that same day, two of them were going to a village called Emmaus, about 7 miles from Jerusalem. They were talking with each other about everything that had happened. And as they talked and discussed these things with each other, Jesus himself came up and walked along with them. But they were kept from recognizing him. He asked them, "What are you discussing together as you walk along?" They stood still, their faces downcast. One of them, named Cleopas, asked him, "Are you the only one visiting Jerusalem who does not know about the things that have happened in these days?" "What things?" he asked. "About Jesus of Nazareth," they replied. "He was a prophet, powerful in word and deed before God and all the people. The chief priests and our rulers handed him over and sentenced him to death, and they crucified him. But we had hoped that he was the one who was going to redeem Israel. And what is more, it is now the third day since all of this took place. In addition, some of our women amazed us. They went to the tomb early this morning but didn't find his body. They came and told us that they had seen a vision of angels who said he was alive. Then some of our companions went to the tomb and found it just like the women said, but they did not see Jesus. And he said to them, "How foolish you are. How slow to believe all that the prophets had spoken. Did not the Messiah have to suffer these things and then enter his glory? And beginning with Moses and all the prophets, he explained to them what was said in the scriptures concerning himself." As they approached the village to which they were going, Jesus continued on as if he were going further. But they urged him strongly, "Stay with us. It is nearly evening. The day is almost over." So he went in to stay with them. When he was at the table with them, he took bread, gave thanks, broke it, and began to give it to them. Then their eyes were opened and they recognized him, and he disappeared from their sight. They asked each other, "Were not our hearts burning within us while he talked with us on the road and opened the scriptures to us?" They got up and returned at once to Jerusalem, where they found the 11 and those with them assembled together and saying, "It is true, the Lord has risen and has appeared to Simon." Then the two told what had happened on the way and how Jesus was recognized by them when he broke the bread. This is the word of the Lord. Thanks be to God. So today, a reflection that we see in this story of Scripture, this first Easter day, how do we see something of ourselves that takes place in this narrative that took place here? Because what you see happening in here, you see two disciples of Jesus who kind of go on this roller coaster, up and down and back up again and down again, that their lives are tossed back and forth, and they're not quite sure where they're landing yet on this day. So the scene is there. They're on this road that's heading toward the town of Emmaus. Emmaus is a village that's thought to be somewhere about 5 miles outside of Jerusalem. Right? So when all the people would come and gather for the Passover, Jerusalem would be a crowded place. And many of the people who would come for that would stay in these towns and villages that are within walking distance of a number of miles outside of Jerusalem. So this is not an unusual scene. It's the evening of one of those Passover celebration days, and these two disciples are heading back towards this town outside of Jerusalem. And Jesus shows up while they're having a discussion. Now, the gospel writer Luke says that they're talking and discussing as they go, but the Greek word that's used there is a word that means more something like an argument, a debate. It's a heated discussion that they're having. They are passionately discussing something. Jesus walks into that with kind of an awkward moment. You know how you do that sometimes? You walk in on people when they're having an argument or a passionate discussion, but you weren't there for the beginning. You sort of break in and there's that awkward moment. That's the scene here, right? These two guys are arguing, debating, discussing something passionately as they're walking down this road. And Jesus walks in on this discussion, says, "What's going on? So, what are we talking about?" Sort of breaks his way into that. And they don't recognize it. They don't recognize that it's Jesus. Instead, they share something of the story, which is good information for Luke to give us. What's in those words? What's in that story? This is where Luke is telling us something of that reflection, right? These disciples are coming back to tell their story. It's about Jesus. Jesus, the one who comes from God, the one from whom we had so much hope, so much expectation of who he would be for us, of what he would do for us. We followed him because we expected so much. They lay out those expectations they had for Jesus, expectations that then they share have been torn apart. This one that we followed, this one that we thought would be the one who redeems Israel, who would confront the Roman Empire and take away all of those people that rule us. But he's been taken, Jesus. He's been torn from us. You see, their expectations had been dashed in a way that leaves their heart a bit broken. That they're brokenhearted in this moment. That they followed Jesus with expectations that Jesus would specifically do something for them, and it didn't turn out that way. And now they're left lost, brokenhearted. They're left in a moment where their faith in what Jesus was supposed to be for them has been dashed and torn apart. Do you see something of reflection in that? That any one of us, if we've walked that journey of faith for some time, that we face some of those moments as well. Some of those moments where maybe we have built up in our own lives certain expectations of what we think God ought to be, what we think God ought to do, and then sometimes it doesn't go that way. Sometimes I don't get God's plan. I don't understand. And I have a hard time understanding how my faith is supposed to relate to the life in which he's given me to follow here. Every single one of us faces those moments. What I like about this story in the Bible is that it's real, right? That this is real life. That this is something that happened to those first disciples on that first Easter, and you know what? That's real, because we all walk a journey like that from time to time. We all face something like that in our own journeys every now and then. So they walk along sharing this story of what they think Jesus ought to be, what they think Jesus ought to do, and they miss it. They miss the point. Because often, when we have something like this, which leaves us a little bit brokenhearted, it means that we were in a place of passion, right? That when our hearts are broken, it's broken because we've been in a place where we've been passionate about someone or something that we're following. We're passionate about the way that we think God ought to work in our lives and work in the world around us. And in moments where suddenly, for whatever reason, we come to realize that God's plan is different, that passion goes away. And we're left sort of confused by that, wondering where that goes. Wondering how our lives are going to move on from them. Because when you're in that moment of passion, you don't always see clearly. Right? That's not the moment where you back up and sort of analytically look at it all. You can't always find the plan of God within that. That's where these disciples are at. They so strongly followed and believed Jesus to do what they wanted Jesus to do that they're a little bit blind to what God was actually up to. That they missed something of what was actually there. That they don't even recognize that here on this road, Jesus himself is walking alongside of them. They don't see it. They don't get it. Because they're in that moment where they're trying to deal with all of their hopes that had been dashed and crashed apart. So what's the response there? What does Jesus do? How does Jesus address that situation for people whose faith is wavering, right? That they were in a moment where they weren't quite sure anymore what it means to follow Jesus, how we're supposed to follow Jesus, if I can even follow Jesus at all, do I even believe in any of this stuff anymore? That's where these people were at. How does Jesus come alongside a person like that and address them? For people in our world today who may be struggling with that same question about their hopes of who God should be or supposed to be for them, how does Jesus show up and come alongside of that? Here's what he does. Jesus catches up with them on the road, even though they don't recognize it at the time. And what does he do? He opens Scripture. He shares Scripture with them. He just starts telling them all about the works of God through Scripture. Revealing who God is through the Bible. That he goes to the revealed word of God to do that. And what happens then? What happens with these disciples? You know, it's not an automatic change, is it? You don't pick up from the story here that Jesus shares one verse from the Bible and all of a sudden, boom, I get it. Oh, by the way, it's Jesus. I see it now. It doesn't happen that way, does it? It's not this automatic switch that just flips and suddenly now they get it all. But as they're walking along and Jesus shares the story with them, that something is kindling within their hearts. Something is beginning to burn there. Right? You see about that when you jump to the end of the story. The end of the story where they finally see Jesus, where they finally get it, and they ask that question. Wait a minute. Were not our hearts burning within us when we were on the road and he was sharing scripture with us? That there was something beginning to kindle there. They were beginning to see something as Jesus shared that scripture. But it was this slow return of a kindling of that passion. It was not this automatic switch, but slowly began to come back to the point where even as it was happening, even as it was taking place, they still didn't see Jesus, right? They still didn't recognize in that moment that it was Jesus right there. You see, that first Easter for them was not that moment of all in. It took some time. Maybe we need to remind ourselves of that today. That on that very first Easter, those disciples who followed Jesus most closely, this was not for them a day of high celebration. This was for them a day of confusion. They didn't get it. They didn't understand. The story that we read that began the service today from John chapter 20, where Peter and John run to the tomb and they look inside and they still don't understand from Scripture why Jesus had to suffer and die, why Jesus rose again. They didn't get it yet. That's where they're at. But on this road, at the end of the day, Jesus comes along and he starts sharing scripture with them and something begins to light a flame again, slowly, as they go. That it took some time. Took some time for them to come around and accept what the resurrection means. Even when they didn't recognize Jesus right there. And so there's a reflection there as well. A reflection. A reflection of some of those times where maybe we don't quite get it either. That we're struggling to ask, where is Jesus? Where is Jesus in my life? Where is Jesus when I need him and want him to do for me all the things that I desire for him to do in my life? And maybe just like that road to Emmaus. You know what? Jesus is right there. He is right there. It's not that Jesus was gone. It's that they didn't recognize, right? They didn't see it yet, but it was beginning. As Jesus opened and shared scripture and revealed something of who God is through scripture, it was beginning. And we find those moments, don't we? We find those moments when we turn to the Word of God, when we turn to scripture and we read about and see how God has revealed himself in scripture. And maybe we don't in all of those moments recognize, oh yes, I know it, God is right here with me. Maybe we don't recognize that either all the time. But just like it was for those first disciples, as they began to catch that glimpse of what God's true plan is and how God is truly with them, that he was truly by their side, even when they didn't recognize it, even when they didn't see it. There's something of a reflection in that for us, something for us to take away from that and see that, you know what, that is true for us too. It is true for us too that in times where I am searching scripture and trying to find where God is working his way through this world and through my life and through the people in my life and how that works, and I am wondering, God, where are you in this? That it's told to us and revealed to us that God is right there, even when we don't see it. Even when we don't recognize it. Because it is God who takes a heart that has been broken and kindles it again through his Holy Spirit. That he puts that passion back within us again. That we have hearts that have been set ablaze for him. And that takes time. It can happen slowly. It can involve some ups and some downs along the way. But in every step along the way, he is there with us. Do you see something of the pattern that takes place here? That in these ups and downs and in these back and forths, that Luke is sharing something of the pattern of this Emmaus road. Luke, when he writes this gospel, there are four gospels, right? And Luke is writing a gospel to a specific individual. That the gospel of Luke, if you go all the way back to chapter 1, it is addressed to a man named Theophilus. That he wrote this story to one individual. We don't know exactly who Theophilus is or was. Now, we can figure a little bit about that, that by the way he's addressed that, he must have been someone rather important, someone of high rank, maybe an official in the Roman government, something like that. His name is Greek in origin, so it's most likely that he was not Jewish. He is a Gentile convert to Christianity, and Luke is writing to him. Luke is writing to someone who is just hearing about and learning about Jesus for the first time. That's how Luke is addressing this. And so he wants to put in his writing, in his gospel, something of a pattern to follow. A pattern for those who may be hearing about Jesus for the first time and asking those first questions. Those first questions like, who is Jesus? What does it mean to follow Jesus? How does it mean to live as a person of faith? Those would have been those first questions that someone like Theophilus would have been asking. And so Luke ends his gospel with this pattern. A pattern that helps for those who are asking those questions to find some of those answers of how that works. That God comes to people who are both brokenhearted and those who are passionately set ablaze within their hearts. And he comes alongside either way and walks alongside us through that. And what he does through that is he widens our hearts. He broadens our hearts, that we have a broadening heart as Jesus walks with us. That's the pattern that we see a little bit with how Luke tells this story. That they did not automatically figure out how to follow God and what this meant, but God was, over time, broadening their hearts. Now, Luke packs that down into a single story, right? He packs that down into the events of a single day. But we take away from that a pattern that stretches beyond that. That God, as he walks alongside of us in times when we know it, in times when we don't know it, that he reveals himself to us through his word in ways that slowly over time broadens, expands our understanding, our hearts, of what it means for us to know God, to love God, to follow God. That he works with us through that in ways that broaden our heart. Today is Easter. We come here and we celebrate. Tomorrow's Monday. We go back to whatever it was we had done before. And we go back with a heart that maybe is just a little bit wider, a little bit more broad. That we go back to whatever it was that we had before, knowing and understanding, as we see from this story, that we live lives like they did that had ups and had downs. We have good days and we have bad days. We have days when God is there and fulfilling everything that we know and expect him to do, and we have days where God's plan confuses us and we don't know where he is or what he is doing. We live days like that too. But through that, God is always there walking beside, slowly broadening, widening our hearts to know and to understand. Because the truth is this, every path that we walk down, Jesus catches up and finds us there. Every time that we open Scripture, Jesus is there beside us within that. Every Easter Sunday when we wake up filled with joy, Jesus is there. Every Monday morning when you go back to whatever it was you were doing before, Jesus is still there. Every sunny day filled with warm skies, Jesus is there. Every stormy night that feels like it will never end, Jesus is there. And in all of that, broadening our hearts, widening us, day by day, week by week, month by month, year by year, God broadens our hearts to know him, to follow him. I began this series that we've been doing in Lent through these 40 days of Lent looking at Psalm 119. The very first message that I did on that back when we began our series of Lent came from some verses from Psalm 119, verses 25 to 32. Verse 32 of Psalm 119 said this: I run in the path of your commands, for you have stretched my heart wide. That we began our journey of Lent declaring to God that through his word that he is beside us, that he is with us, and that as we meditate upon it, that as we walk that journey of faith and discipleship together, some of those moments being grand and high, some of those moments being filled with doubt, but in all of those moments, God stretches our hearts wide to know, to love, to follow him. That is where God brings us. That is the way that Easter, a day that we celebrate today, shows up again tomorrow morning and stays with us and continues to work through us as Jesus walks beside us. The very last thing that Jesus said to his disciples before he ascended into heaven, according to Matthew in his gospel, the last words Jesus spoke to his disciples were this: surely I am with you always to the very end of the age. We celebrate today that Jesus, our risen Jesus, is always with us every day. Let's pray together. God, we come before you today and we praise you because you are our risen Savior. Lord, we confess today that there are moments when we leave this place and we go back to our regular everyday routines, we confess that there are moments where we lose sight of that, that we forget what it means to follow you every day and in every way. There are moments where we're looking around to see where you are and not recognizing that you are right there beside us. God, help us in those times to turn back again to your word and to be reminded again that even when we don't sow it, when we don't know it, even when we don't see it, that you are there with us. You guide us along the way. You are the light of the world. You've stepped down into the darkness of our world so that you may open our eyes and let us see. We thank you so much for that. And we pray this in the name of Jesus. Amen.